Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Not long after half past 10 French time on Friday night, Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal wrapped up one of the most insane sets of tennis anybody has seen. It took more than an hour and a half for Djokovic to settle matters in this one particular set in a tiebreak and go two sets to one up in the French Open semi-final. Djokovic went off for a toilet break. Nadal sat on a seat and brooded, and the crowd began to grow a little restless as the realization dawned that in the next half an hour or so, they were going to have to get up, file out of the stadium, and walk away from the closing stages of an epic match between two of the greatest players ever to play the game. But there was a twist in the tale to come. Hi, Ken.
Owen, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Hi everyone, welcome to Monday's little non-Euros mini podcast, although there'll be a little bit of Euros chat. Firstly, why would they all have to leave the match? Well, because of the 11 p.m. COVID curfew in Paris that was happening during the rest of the tournament. Sorry guys, doesn't matter how exciting the match is, you guys have to go home now. But some important people were apparently watching this game on the telly and were just as engrossed as the crowd was, and soon an announcement was made.
Mesdames, Messieurs. Je le rappelle, en accord avec les autorités nationales, le match va pouvoir aller en son terme en votre présence.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, the stunned American commentators have translated correctly. They have changed the rules. Apparently the French Prime Minister was watching at home. He called in and issued an exemption for Roland Garros from the citywide lockdown or curfew, and it allowed the fans of the venue to watch history unfold until the end. I mean, you could say it wasn't the first time Novak Djokovic has ignored the COVID-19 pandemic, Ken, but in this, his moment of triumph, it seems churlish to bring up some sins of the past. I actually switched on during that third set because I kept seeing people going on about it, about how amazing it was, and I was watching my beloved Italy, my tip for the Euros.
Yeah, I switched over myself. Well, I didn't switch from Italy, but I did turn it on after that.
Sorry, I should say I multi-screened. I mean, the days of, you know, just switching over and watching one or the other are somewhat gone. But so why did you watch the announcement? Actually, they'd gone to an ad break on Eurosport when the announcement itself was made, and they came back. And I was like, oh, hang on, the crowd are still here. Everyone seems really happy. And very quickly, the Eurosport guys were like, yeah, they've been dancing around the place for the last few. Maybe they should bring this in every sporting event. I mean, the Euros would certainly be pepped up if after 75 minutes, and only then do the supporters find out whether or not they can stay for the closing 15 minutes.
Yeah. You sound a bit like Andrea Agnelli now, Owen, with you're just...
The youth would love this idea, Ken. They want to be on the edge of their seat at all times, you know. Yeah, they can't concentrate.
I missed the whole bit where they tell the crowd that this is Roland Garros. Of course the lockdown doesn't apply to you people. I missed that. I turned it on and actually Djokovic had nearly won the match. I saw barely any of it, but
The fourth set was a bit routine after all that.
He sort of rolled over him. It was fair play to Djokovic. He's obviously, as I've said, not the most interesting sports person in the world, but you know, he's good.
Bloody good tennis player. He's now, that was only the semi-final. His final was, he was two sets down against Tsitsipas, Stefanos Tsitsipas, and came back to win in five. against his much younger opponents who couldn't quite stay with Novak. So Djokovic now moves to 19 Grand Slams within one of Nadal and Federer. It's going to happen, everybody, right? We've known this for a long time. You just have to deal with it now, whether you're a Federer fan, of which there are many, a Nadal fan, maybe not quite so many. It seems like most people in this part of the world anyway are Federer heads, but neither of them are going to go down as greatest of all time. Djokovic could end up with 30 of these things by the time he finishes. That was just one of the sporting events you might have been paying less attention to than usual with the Euros going on. There was also Kerry sending an ominous warning to the Dubs, that's you, Ken, and the rest of the Gaelic football world by scoring 5 goals in one half of football against Tyrone on Saturday night.
Jeez, I hope they haven't used up all their goals.
They got one more in the second half. Kerry manager Peter Keane afterwards, he's not a hype merchant at the best of times. Would you like to hear his quote?
Please.
There will be a lot of talk by virtue of the fact there were goals, but, and he said this, but if you took the goals out of the game, there wasn't a whole pile in the scoreboard at the end of it. Do one, Peter, come on. I mean, that makes Jim Gavin look like,
well, that's just his offbeat Kerry menace,
yes,
right?
Of course, yeah.
It's like, well, he's a little bit crazy. I think his patter is a bit Anton Chigurh, actually. Just in terms of, hang on, is this guy for real? Like, what is he talking about? I think that's what he's going for. And I like it. I think it's better than just the usual straight bat Kerry man downplaying everything, pretending to be no good. I think that type of thing. I like it.
Subtle distinction between cute Kerry horrorism, as it's known, and offbeat Kerry menace, as you describe Peter Keane's
approach.
this is
too much. Like, I mean, it's obviously a joke what he's saying. It's like, well, you know, I mean, if you take the 75 goals we scored out of the game, then I guess there wasn't that much in it. You know what I mean? Like,
they still won the game. I mean, you can take all the goals out if you want. They still won by a point.
Message received and understood.
Murph is on holidays this week. I was zoned in on the Euro. So let's talk to someone who was in Killarney on Saturday to pay full attention as he witnessed the All-Ireland champions in waiting. Oisín McConville, how's the form?
Oh, and how's things?
I might be going a little bit far there, but, you know, 6 goals, 5 in one half of football. It looked pretty good on the highlights. How was it in person?
Oh, and I have to tell you, Kerry, I probably don't have the vocabulary to talk about their forwards and how good they were. It was awesome. And a lot of people said to me, you know, well, should look at Tyrone. And Tyrone, there's absolutely no doubt about it, Tyrone were poor. But Tyrone hadn't gone down with the purpose of, you know, making this some sort of jolly or something. They were very intent on winning the game, I felt. And the other thing was that they actually started quite well. But Kerry, pace, power, question marks now over whether, you know, David Moran comes back into that team, which seemed unthinkable a couple of weeks ago when he was plucking him out of the sky. But I just think that up front, Owen, it's just like, it was just football from another planet. It was like, anybody who's been in Killarney and they've been in the press box or that side of the pitch, it's an unbelievable backdrop for a game. You know, and then it was Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. There wasn't as much as a breath of wind. It was perfect conditions. And I was at BBC and myself and Thomas were like, we floated out of the ground. And later on we met the Gooch and a couple of boys, and like they weren't on the same level as we were. It felt as if they'd seen it all before. And I can understand that. They didn't, like, Kerry didn't really answer any questions as such at the weekend. But somebody asked me, can Kerry win the All-Ireland? On the other day's performance, they could beat anybody. Mm. You know what I mean? But they weren't playing anybody the other day. They were playing Tyrone, and Tyrone just really struggled with... They just really struggled with the movement. Do you know what I mean? The movement, and like, people will talk about how good Clifford was, and he was awesome, and he's been marked by Ronan McNamee, and I've never seen anybody do that to Ronan McNamee before. But like Sean O'Shea and Gainey in the half forward lane, they had 6 threats, and then obviously Gavin White comes up, you know, chips the keeper from, you know, 45, 50 yards.
People need to watch that goal if they haven't seen it before. An unbelievable lob.
Do you know what the good said to me? Did he mean it? I said, oh, come on now. You know, you have to give him credit.
Hard to impress the Gooch by the sounds of things. No,
the boys were just totally, you know, they're unflappable. But I suppose, like, it was pretty obvious from the couple of hours that I spent in Killarney. Actually, we stayed overnight, but the 24 hours or whatever we were in Killarney, it was pretty obvious that, you know, the currency that they'll be dealing in is All-Ireland medals. And until this team delivers that, they're not thought of in any sort of glowing terms, to be honest. For all the, as I say, it was beautiful football. That's what it was. It was just beautiful football.
Sexy football, I think Ruud Hullett used to call sexy it back football, in the day. Sexy exactly. football. And as you said there, well, it was an interesting phrase you used there. You said that it was all six forwards, because I think people, and if they saw the scoreline, they probably would have assumed Clifford might have got a hat-trick, you know, and he did get one from the penalty spot, which he earned himself. He was involved in quite a lot of their great play as well, but there's six of them, really. They've got, in every position, the forwards, they're fairly stacked.
They are. Mine in a full four was a really interesting one. Maybe looking at the Dubs down the lane to try and do something a little bit different against them, have a runner at 14. So he just basically went everywhere, but not into defence really until the second half. But even the lads, they took Killian Spillane off the bench, Michael Burns come off the bench. But the one thing they all had in common was just pure pace. There was pace everywhere, and pace in the middle of the field. And I think that's the big decision now that they have to make. Are they going to go with the pace in the middle of the field, or are they going to, will David Moran come back in and somebody come in, sort of Dermot O'Connor maybe to foil him? But Jack Barry come off the bench, another option. Obviously Adrian Spillane started, so they have quite a few options. But look, as I say, you know, I suppose probably the biggest takeaway, I think, for most people would have been Jason Foley's performance. Like, he's been, like, I think as far back as maybe 3 years ago, and I might have said in the podcast, he's a fullback. Back to the time when Mike was on with us, that he's a fullback and waiting, and he seems to have arrived. He's got everything you'd want from a fullback. He probably does need a little bit more help, though. You know what I mean? He puts out a lot of fires, and again, Tyrone mixed it up. They played short ball, long ball, but he seemed to be able to cut everything out. In fact, when you consider the forwards, the contribution the forwards made, he still got man of the match. You know, that tells you how good he was.
This reaction in Kerry is really interesting that you're talking about. Do you think it is simply that they remain unimpressed until the team wins in All-Ireland, or are they secretly really impressed? They all feel that this is going to be the year, but there's a county-wide conspiracy for them not to let the cat out of the bag here.
Yeah, there's probably, I think it's the first one. Yeah, I think it is, because I think the discussion went from that to, there was a young lad there, and he asked who was a better player, David Clifford or Morris Fitz. And I thought the way we just seen David Clifford play and have seen him play, that most people would jump and say David Clifford, but they didn't say that because he doesn't have the All-Ireland medals that Morris Fitz has. So that probably proves the point. But look at, I'm sure this Kerry team, you know, I'm sure they're going to make an All-Ireland final. I think last year's defeat to Cork will help them in regards to that. And
in what way? I mean, it might be obvious enough, but
no, just in the forearm now and the forewarned, and I think they'd realise how big of a travesty it would be if they were to slip up along the way. They seem very, very, extremely actually focused on their job in hand, and allied to that, they look as if they're enjoying themselves. So put those two together, and that's a pretty hefty cocktail. Still, like, you know, if you're asking me in the morning who was going to win between Dublin and Kerry, I'd still pick Dublin.
All right, Oisin, glad I was sounding a good night in Killarney. It doesn't sound like you got to see too much of the Euros. I was going to ask you if you have any.
I seen little bits and pieces. We pinned our colours to the mast. We all got French jerseys, so we went for France. Yeah,
sounds good. Oisin, enjoy. Thanks, Emil.
Thanks, Owen.
modern day coaching. What is it all about? Paralysis by analysis, infiltrated by a load of spoofers and bluffers, fellas with earpieces stuck in their ears, psychologists, Clive Woodward, statisticians, dietitians, and as Mick O'Connell alluded to, God save us.
Thanks to Oisin for filling us in on what's been happening in the GAA world. As for the Euros,
you know what time it is, right? You know what time it is, don't you? It's time for me
to do that soccer.
It's a happy ending for Scotland for a change. The time has come. The time really has come.
The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front, Sigurdsson, who really, Sigurdsson.
You're talking about finals.
Final.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm Declan Rice.
I'm Jack Grealish.
Oh, my word. Oh.
They're all pampered. They're all just headphones.
The Euro 2020 soccer tournament.
Put some respect on my name.
Yes, we've got our Monday Euro 2020 pod out now, available to all, but the games are coming thick and fast. Only our World Service members will hear us talking about the Scots on tomorrow's podcast after their game today, and then France-Germany the day afterwards. But I know what you're thinking, Ken. Who was that at the start of the audio bed saying it's time for me to do that soccer? Well, allow Neil Hennigan to explain. Just in case you haven't seen this, ESPN have put Stephen A. Smith on the Euros beat. It reminds me of when second captain sent Ken Early to the Rugby World Cup, says Neil.
Well, Neil, to be fair, that was the Irish Times that sent me to the Rugby World Cup. It was definitely not second captain.
Just to give the proper captain's initiative.
No, it was the Irish Times.
We got to hear more of Stephen A. talking about the Euros.
You know what time it is, right? You know what time it is, don't you? It's time for me
to do that soccer.
The Euro 2020 soccer tournament starts Friday, and I'll admit, I'm a little limited in my knowledge of the beautiful game. But just like hockey, I'm excited to get into it. So today, I'm going to pick a team all of y'all to support along with me. Here are my criteria for picking the team I'm going to root for. Let's go to right here, right there. Look at this. Let's start with number 5 right here. Old school coach. I like old school folks, okay? Hardcore, demanding, holding people accountable. Don't let anybody off the hook. That's what I'm about. It's about discipline. It's about commitment. It's about making sure you do what you're supposed to do. That's what an old school coach makes sure of. That's what I want right there. Number 4, no ugly uniforms. They're bad luck.
Okay. It goes on a long time. Let's just take him down there. So he's already said old school coach, no ugly uniforms. Also, he goes on to say the past success is not a must. He says a rabid fan base, you need that. And star power, right? So you need rabid fan base, star power,
no ugly uniforms, past success is not a must.
And old school coach. So who do you think he went for?
And an old school coach.
We don't have audio. We don't have actually audio of this, but I can explain it to you. If you
I mean, I'm thinking of the uniforms, rapid fan base. I actually didn't think at least Puma uniform was that cool. They've got Puma, aren't they? They're like Puma for some reason have decided to write the name of the team on the chest. It's like we know the name, like you don't have to write it. Italy seem to have most of those things covered.
France, Ken. Stephen A. has gone for France. Doesn't make a huge amount of sense because they have had a lot of past success. I would have thought Italy.
They don't really have a rabid fan base.
They don't. Not compared to many of the other.
Not really. Like not compared to all the other countries. Yeah. So, yeah, but I suppose he's not really he's not necessarily a soccer specialist.
He explains that himself. Yeah. His quote was, "You just told me England reminds me of the Cowboys. I damn sure ain't rooting for them, which leaves me with no other choice but France. I'm a have to roll with France." I'm have to roll with Italy myself. Yeah, I don't know why Italy. The Cowboys are like the people's team. Not the people's team. That would be maybe the wrong way of phrasing it. But they're the most supported team possibly from outside their own fan base. That doesn't make sense if they're supported. From outside just Dallas, there's a lot of
Everyone's second favourite team.
Well, everyone else hates them. It's one of those. Like Man United, you know. Not everyone's second favourite team. It's like a lot of people support them, including people who aren't necessarily from Manchester.
So one quarter of the population supports them and the other three quarters hate them. Passionately.
That seems to be the comparison we're going with there. I don't think
England fit into that category, to be honest. But.
Apparently Stephen A remains unconcerned about the fallout between Giroud and Mbappe. He's rolling with France. We'll be talking about that game against Germany on Wednesday's podcast. It's Euro 2020 every day on the World Service. Join us now on secondcaptains.com. It's only €5 a month, plus VAT, depending on where you're living in the world. For those of you who are well signed up at this age, can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. It will be time for us to do that soccer, Ken. Thanks for that.
Let's do that soccer, huh?
Let's do that soccer. Now let's go and watch Scotland versus Czech Republic. Thanks, everyone.
That's the second time he's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.